do that week as well. Praise the Lord. Let's get ready for the word of the Lord tonight. If you will, take your Bibles. Brother Andrew is going to come and share with us the scripture tonight. Hallelujah. When is that again?
This coming Sunday night, Brother Chopper Wing, Brother Donnie's church, Brother David Turner.
Okay. All right. I think I turned it on.
If you'll take your Bibles, stand with us. We're going to go to 1 Timothy chapter 6.
Glory to God. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hold on a little while. Glory to God.
We'll start at verse 15.
Ooh, praise the Lord.
Paul writes to Timothy and he says, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen.
Amen.
You say amen to his word, you may be
amen.
Seated.
Amen.
I probably don't have nothing new to share tonight, that's for sure. But I would like to maybe remind us of a couple things.
Praise the Lord.
Paul writes to Timothy here in the previous verses. He gives him a charge to basically fight for the faith, to stand firm in the faith. And he goes on in verse 14. He talks about that he uses the Lord in his coming. And he says that Jesus is coming back. And he says, this is why we know this for a surety. He says, because the Lord said so.
Right.
We know in these verses, these two verses, 15 and 16, that he's talking about God the Father here. Reason being, because God the Father is the only one who knows for sure when Jesus Christ is coming back. Yeah. It's mentioned in verse 15, which in his times he shall show. Because we know him to be the only one with knowledge, in Matthew chapter 24, it says in verse 36, Christ speaking, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. In Acts chapter 1, and verse 7 again, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. The Amplified Bible puts it in a little bit different version or different way. It kind of clears it up a little bit more. It says, which appearing will be shown forth in his own proper time by the blessed and only Sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords. God the Father and God the Father alone is in charge of the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul goes on after this, after stating this, resting in a surety that Christ will come because God the Father has said so. He goes on to describe some attributes and some titles of our Lord, God the Father. And it says, goes down in verse 6, 15 and 16, beginning with one, potentate. This title, potentate, when you look it up in the Greek, it means simply a mighty ruler. It implies one being a ruler of rulers, one whose power supersedes that of the others, one whose authority is placed above that of lesser rulers. Here the Lord is portrayed as the ruler of the universe, of whom there is no equal.
Amen. No.
Paul, in giving this title to God the Father, states there is none above him. I know this is preached so many times, and we know it in the back of our minds, but I'd like to bring it to light a little bit. Paul describes God the Father as potentate. In other words, there is none above him. His rule is supreme. His word is final. After God has given word, that is it. There is none other to go beyond it. And he even goes farther after this and describes this potentate in two ways. First is being blessed. If you look up this word blessed, it's funny. It means simply happy. God is the only being who is happy in and of himself. And you may ask, what is the significance of that? Well, number one, it'll show you once again his absolute independence. God is blessed or happy no matter the circumstance. We can take comfort in this in knowing that, say, tomorrow morning our devotions, we will go talk to God in prayer. And we will not find him in a downcast mood. Mm-hmm. We will not find him in a depressed mood.
That's right.
We may be, something may happen tomorrow morning that may set our whole day off. But we can go to God in surety knowing he's going to be the same as he was yesterday. Because he is not dependent upon life's circumstances.
Amen.
To make him happy in his will.
Amen.
Number two, he describes him as the only. God being the only being, past, present, and future, to ever have such a position. If you read in the first part of Charles Finney's Systematic Theology, basically, once you get down to the nitty-gritty of it, it goes on to say we are moral creatures, and therefore, being moral creatures, we are in need of government. If we are in need of government, there must be one to rule us or govern us. That being said, there must be one and one only to do so. God is the only one capable of such government. Not only because he is the creator of all, the sustainer of all, and the giver of everything, but his character itself being the only one worthy of such a position. It could be said like this: just because you're the physical parent of a child does not mean you are worthy to raise that child. But God is the only being by his quality of character to be the supreme ruler.
Hallelujah.
Man has searched over and over again throughout history for a ruler.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be over a set kingdom, whether it be over a nation, whether it be over a town. And each time the qualities of that man are tried, put to test against the other. In this nation we have votes that we say we take into account a man's character, his attributes, and we vote on the man who we think best able to lead our country. The world has been searched over and over throughout history. No man has attained to the place that God the Father has. Not only because he is the creator of all, but it is his character itself. He is holy, absolute holy. He is love, absolute love. He is glory, absolute glory. Therefore, there is none other ever in history or in future that can ever attain to such a place as God the Father. Therefore, he is the only one worthy of such a place. Second title being King of Kings. The word for king used here is derived from a word meaning basis or foundation. When you look it up in the Greek, that's what it boils down to. In other words, the title king means one who is the foundation of power in the land, all authority being derived from this being. God is the King of Kings. Therefore, all authority on this earth and all power is given by him. It does not matter what man may try and do. A king will not become a king until God says so. A president will may not be a president until God says so. We can bet on it. We can account on it. There will never be a kingdom set up or a kingdom torn down until God says so.
Amen. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
All kingdoms are set and torn down at his discretion. Daniel 2:21, and he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings. He setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. I know we take great account, and we do fear sometimes what the president has done to our country. What not only the president, but our senators as well. The direction they're moving our country. But we can always take comfort in one thing. God has foreseen it and God has allowed it. Barack Obama is president because God wanted him to be president. You say, well, that's terrible. Yes, it is, but that's the way it is. God will not allow one to be president or king who he does not want to be king. This is something we can take comfort in. Though it does look bleak now, we must look unto the end. God has a purpose for this. It is our duty to stay informed. It is our duty to stay up to date on things that are happening. As much as we may hate to do it, it is our duty to. We have been given a great responsibility in this country. We have been given a great voice in this country. Though it was trying to be stifled, we yet have it. November of every 4 years is a time to vote a new man into the office. This is our responsibility. They did not have this in ancient times. They did not have this in times previous to this, or in countries even now today. That many people would kill for such a right. And they have fought and bled for such rights. God has bestowed it upon this country. Therefore, I know politics can be very annoying sometimes, and it can anger us to see what's going on. We must still, at the same time, listen. We must still be up to date on what's happening. It is our duty to vote the right man into office. You say, our vote doesn't matter. There's a whole country out there. Our vote does matter. Yes. Brother Wood said it right tonight. One man can change the tide. We have been given great rights in this country. Hallelujah. Therefore, let us not abuse them, but not, let us also not forsake them. Amen. If it is our duty to rise up and to cry against it, then let us do so. But we cannot do that unless we stay up to date to what's going on, until we know what's happening. He's also been given another title, Lord of Lords. This title, Lord, implies one who's supreme in authority. Once again, showing God's absolute authority over this world. This title supersedes the previous in that it goes beyond the rule of a set kingdom and implies absolute authority over all. A king has a rule over a certain area, but if you are lord of something, you have authority over that object, wherever it might be. This word Lord has also been translated master in the Greek New Testament. So it carries the idea of master and slave. Though that slave may enter into another kingdom, he is still yet under your authority as his lord. Therefore, wherever that slave goes, you are yet his master. You are yet his lord, even though he enters into another kingdom. Until that bond has been relinquished, he is yours and under your authority. This is interesting because if you look at it, we can take it this way. These titles are applied to Christ in Revelation. I'll read that in a moment. But only it is something interesting because it says this. Not only is he my king, Christ, that the kingdom of which I am a part of is his, but he's also my Lord. Meaning that wherever I go, wherever my current place of residence is, he may be my ruler. This goes beyond king. Because yet we are a part of his kingdom, yes, and he is our king and ruler there. But while we are residents on this earth, he is our Lord. Therefore, until we go into that physical kingdom in the millennium and beyond, we are yet his and under his authority because he is our Lord, not only our king. These last two titles are also given to Christ, proving once again Christ's equality with the Father. In the end, we see Christ return to this earth with these titles written on his thigh. Revelation 19:11, I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. He that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew, but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. After this, Paul then goes on to describe some of the attributes of our God. He has given the titles Potentate, King of Kings, and Lord of Lords. But then he goes on to some attributes inherent within God the Father. Number one, he only has immortality. If you look up this word immortality, it means deathlessness. He alone in himself is exempt from every kind of death. God in his very nature is life. Death cannot exist with such powerful life as present. This is what sustains us in the world to come. 1 Corinthians 15:55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? We are immortal souls. Angels are immortal beings. But God is the only one who is in himself, in and of himself, immortal. No being, whether past, present, or future, has ever been immortal by his own power, save God the Father. John 5:26, Jesus says, For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. We as immortal souls receive the life-giving flow from God. Angels even receive their life by him. There is no being, once again, past, present, or future, whether it be spirit or flesh, who has not received its life from God the Father. We can take into account every being, whether spirit, whether man, whether beast, anything that has lived upon this earth or in the heavens that has not received its life-giving flow from God the Father. God in Himself is immortality. There is no other. There is no death in Him. Nor can there be. Because He is absolute life. Number two, He dwells in light no man can approach unto. Psalms 104 and 2. Who covest thyself with light as with a garment. Who stretchest out the heavens like a curtain. Ezekiel 1 and 27 says, and I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it. And from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about. As the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. Many scholars want to take this word light and make it something metaphorical. But if you look up the word itself, it is a physical light. This is something that I cannot wrap my mind around. How such light can be contained in one man or one being. We have no comprehension of the absolute holiness and the light that God dwells in.
Amen.
Which emanates from His very presence. We heard it preached in the revival. Isaiah 6 and 2. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. If we could really get a glimpse of this scripture, God dwells in such light that no man could approach. And even the seraphims, who have never tasted sin, their whole existence has been in the presence of God. All they know is the holiness of the Father. But yet they must cover themselves with their wings. They have never known sin, not one ounce of it. They have never known what it is meant to be like against God and to fight against Him. They have never had an evil thought enter into their minds. They have never had an evil will enter their minds. But yet they themselves must cover themselves with the holiness of our Father. And number three, no man hath seen Him, nor can see Him. This word translated see, is not the usual word translated to see, as in to gaze upon. This word means to know or to understand. We will spend all of eternity in the presence of our God. Yet we will not scratch the surface of the deep things of Him.
Amen. That's right.
There is coming a day where we will look upon His face and gaze upon Him.
Jeez.
Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8 tells us, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.
Glory.
That word see is gaze. 1 John 3 and 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Once again, that word see is gaze. But the word translated see in this scripture is translated to know or understand. All of eternity will be spent in the presence of our God. But yet we will never, the word of God tells us, we will never fully understand Him. We will never grasp Him. We will never be able to say, I see God for what He is. We will never be able to say that. Every day of eternity will be spent in knowing something different, understanding something different, grasping in a new light our God. But yet it will never come to know the deep things of our Father. That is the infinite and the absolute glory of our God. That eternity will be spent in His presence. Eternity will be spent beside Him, but we will never know Him. And He ends it, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. There is coming the day when the whole world will bow before our God. They spit in His face now. They turn up their noses at Him now. But there will be the day that all honor and all power will be His, amen, everlasting.
Yes. Amen.
From now till eternity,
hallelujah,
it will be His and His alone.
Hallelujah.
I know these are not new things that I've said this tonight, but I would like for us to grasp them again.
Yes.
Even in our evangelism,
mm-hmm,
if we could fully understand the God that we serve,
oh,
the God that we are out there portraying to these people we knock on these doors, the God that we are representing,
hallelujah,
we will have boldness.
Hallelujah.
If we read in Acts chapter 4, they prayed for boldness. God's answer to that was He filled them with the Holy Ghost again.
Mm.
The Holy Ghost points to Jesus.
Mm.
Jesus points to the Father.
Yes.
If we are full of Holy Ghost, we will see Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
When we see Jesus, we see the Father.
Yes. Amen.
Let us be full of Holy Ghost, that when we go out into this world and preach this word, we know Jesus behind us. We know Jesus, the name which we speak, the name in which we pray, the authority in which we pray, the authority in which we witness, the authority in which we condemn, and the authority which we bring up. Jesus, the Father, through the Holy Spirit. If we can grasp this, we will never cower down in face of the enemy. If we could fully know the God we serve,
yes,
at least get a glimpse of Him.
Amen.
After Isaiah saw Him, he said, "I'll go, Lord.
Yes,
send me."
I'll go, Lord. Send me.
After he saw what our God is and what He can do, he said, "I'll go now."
Yes.
I fully grasp my Lord a little bit more. I'll go now.
Mm.
I pray we can get it in our minds.
Hallelujah.
I pray we can grasp it.
Yes. Amen.
I'd like for us to come and pray.
Yes. Hallelujah.
And pray that God, we'd see Him for what He is, at least a small part. I know we will never fully grasp Him, but we serve a mighty God. When we pray, when we go out there and witness, we are not doing it in our own power. When we knock on those doors, we're not on our own authority. We're not doing it for our own name. We're doing it for God. Let us grasp God, and then we can go forward in power. Let's come and pray.
Thank you, King, and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah, alone and immortality and living life, no man can cook them to. Hallelujah.